News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
8:07 on Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. This is Dan Brennan along with Dalton Arwig. And a lot going on today. We're going to talk more about the Senator Doug Jones' no vote on the stimulus package last Thursday. We'll talk more about that this hour. And actually, he's going to be a guest on the Jeff Forrest Show today.
Yeah, scheduled for 10 a.m. today. Senator Doug Jones will be on with Jeff Forrest, and I'm sure answering about that no vote on the Republicans' Senate stimulus relief bill from last week. So I'm sure Jeff will ask him about that. And you can hear from Senator Doug Jones coming up at 10 a.m. this morning on the Jeff Forrest Show.
8:07, of course, everybody's got their eye on the Gulf of Mexico and tropical storm, which we suppose, and Dr. Bill's the guy with all the info and intel on that, is going to become Hurricane Sally.
Yeah, and Dr. Bill, it seems like it was just a few days ago that he was telling us, well, this system could move across Florida into the Gulf.
It
could come into our area, and he was exactly right about that. As they gave it a name over the weekend, Tropical Storm Sally, and soon to be Hurricane Sally. We talked with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams, who gave us the latest update.
Dr. Bill Williams, good morning, and let's get right into it. Tropical Storm Sally. What do you know,
it
Doctor?
It actually has a new location. The thunderstorm development has caused the center of it to shift over more toward where that thunderstorm area is. And as a result, a little bit of a change now in the track. Not a big change, but the track is going to move a little more to the east where it was, the forecast was yesterday. We now expect that Sally will become a minimal hurricane today. And will make possible landfall over the mouth of the Mississippi River tonight. And then, after that, it'll turn to the north and make landfall again on the Mississippi coast. That could be around Pass Christian or possibly even a little bit east of that in Gulfport. And that won't occur till tomorrow night. And so it's going to be a very slow-moving storm. And when it makes landfall, it could be then a minimal hurricane. After that, it will go inland on Wednesday and cross through southeast Mississippi and on into central Alabama. It looks like for our area, we could see some very gusty winds, particularly tomorrow and tomorrow night into early Wednesday, with gusts of up to 40, 45, or maybe even 50 miles per hour. And mainly out of the northeast to start, and then swinging around a little more to the east through Tuesday and into Wednesday. It looks like along the coast we could see a storm surge now of about 4 to 6 feet on the Alabama coast and also around Mobile Bay. And so this is going to be a rain event. Some very heavy rain is expected. The storm is going to move very slowly on up into coastal Mississippi, and that slow track will enable that rain to really pile up. So in our area, we're looking at anywhere from 8 to possibly as much as 12 inches of rain through the storm period on through Wednesday. Some areas could have even more than that. So definitely rain is going to be a major part of this storm system.
Yeah, storm surge seems to be the worry here, as well as inland flooding. And what was that rain amount again? Because we're sticking in the
anywhere
east.
Anywhere from 8 to 12 inches of rain is now forecasted for this area. And it's possible that some areas could even have up to 20 inches
Whoa.
Of rain.
Wow.
And so that definitely is a big rain event. And, of course, most of the rain, the heavy rain, will occur to the east of the storm center. So that means southeast Mississippi and southwest Alabama and even into the Florida panhandle. But again, along the coast, we could see a storm surge of 4 to 6 feet over Mississippi, particularly over near the Louisiana border. It could be more than 7 feet, possibly 7 to 11 feet in that area.
And you mentioned the east side of the storm always gets the most rain and gets the wind. But the way this storm, Sally, is projecting, it looks like we are the east part of the storm for a while, even as it crosses into center Alabama.
Yeah, we're certainly on the rainy side of it. And we would expect the strongest winds of the storm to occur on the Mississippi coast, stretching eastward through Biloxi and maybe to Pascagoula. where we could see some gusts to hurricane force. I don't expect that in our area, but of course any slight move to the east could bring us into stronger winds, so we'll be watching that very closely. But right now it looks like the target would be over around Pass Christian or possibly as far east as Gulfport.
Dr. Bill, with the projected winds for our area, would those translate into, possibly a lot of damage or power going out and that kind of thing? I know Alabama Power's on pins and needles right now and getting ready to go.
Yeah, anytime we see wind gusts getting up to 40, 45 miles an hour, you're going to see tree limb damage, and that can take down the power lines. Also, with all of this heavy rain, it can also saturate the ground, and could cause some trees to weaken or fall over, or certainly a lot of dead wood in the trees will come down and with all that heavy rain. So those are some of the problems we'll encounter. But also, as you mentioned, flooding and flash flooding. We can get a lot of rain come down in a short period of time. And, of course, once the ground becomes saturated, which it will, then you get all runoff. There's no more water soaking in the ground. It's going to be runoff. So flooding is going to be a problem, and eventually we will see river flooding here in Mississippi and portions of Alabama over the next couple of days, all that water coming down to the coast. But certainly for tonight and tomorrow, those heavy thunderstorms and showers will produce some flash flooding.
And Dr. Bill, while storm surge and inland flooding is the main concern in storms like these, we got a question from a listener. Lisa wanted to know, what about the possibility of tornadoes being spawned off from Sally?
That is always the possibility, and particularly on the eastern side of the storms. So in some of those feeder bands of rain showers that spiral into the center, particularly on the eastern side, we tend to see some tornado activity. So, yeah, that is a possibility and could affect Alabama and southeast Mississippi over the next day or so.
Dr. Bill, thank you so much, and we appreciate your... So about 40 minutes ago, Dr. Bill Williams, and the good thing is he's on our team now. He's on our team on sunny days, and he'll be on our team and on your radio on FM Talk 106.5 throughout this entire event, and it looks like it's just going to be quite the rainy next 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, and if you want to check out our website, fmtalk1065.com, that's where we post the latest updates from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams, and we'll have him on throughout the day and the week as he gives us updates on tropical storm, soon to be Hurricane Sally. Some of the more notable things he said there to me is that he's expecting the center of the hurricane to first strike on the southeastern coast of Louisiana, right at the mouth of the Mississippi River, and then cross back over, the water that's right there, and hit right around past Christian or as far east as Gulfport by tomorrow night. Now, for us, we're going to get lots of wind today. Wind anywhere from 25 to 30 miles an hour with gusts of up to 40 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, we'll see that wind increase 30 to 35 miles per hour with gusts of up to 45 and 50 miles per hour. Also, 4 to 6 feet of storm surge expected in our area on the coast.
Yeah, you adjusted that up a foot from earlier today.
Just from 1 hour, he upgraded that by a foot or 2 feet. And a huge rainmaker. That's what we're looking at here. Anywhere from 8 to 12 inches or possibly more in our area. And he's said before, our average amount of rainfall in September is, I think, right around 5 or 6 inches. So we should be catching up to that pretty quickly here over the next few days.
Yeah. Yeah, that deficit is going to be, that's going to go away real quick, it looks like. I know the Mobile County Public Schools are closed today, and of course they were going to reopen in some fashion. I forget the staggering of all this, but there are some special education, I think, kids were going to come in today. Mm-hmm. Not only that, not having that today, but also even the remote learning, that's not happening either.
Yeah, so either way, if you're planning on sending the kids into class or have them stay at home and learn, that's canceled for Mobile County Public Schools today. Baldwin County Public Schools, as of right now, they are in session today, said they'll provide after-school care, but they've canceled all extracurricular activities for Baldwin County Public Schools. And Superintendent Eddie Tyler said they'll give an update on the remainder of the week by 4 p.m. this afternoon. As of the latest update, Saraland Schools, Satsuma Schools, and Washington County Schools are in session today. Gulf Shore City Schools closed. Escambia County, Florida Public Schools closed, as are Pensacola Catholic Schools in Escambia. Columbia, and Fort Walton Beach. Santa Rosa County, Florida schools closed, and Greene County, Mississippi, they said their schools will have a 60% school day with extracurricular activities canceled. And then you look at the colleges, most around our area have announced that they are either going to cancel classes today or provide remote learning for the next couple of days.
It takes Godzilla towering over the Mitchell Center for them to close at South Alabama. Well, you know, you are a student there. They do not like to close the doors there.
They don't. And I didn't show up some of the days where they did have class, but well, especially the days where hurricanes were moving
in. Glad you got your degree somehow.
Somehow, some way I made it work. But USA canceled today and tomorrow, also along with all their events. Spring Hill College said they are canceling afternoon classes, but all classes before 1:30 today will meet as usual. Bishop State, remote learning the next 2 days. Pensacola State College has canceled all their classes and activities, and University of West Florida, they're going remote today as well. But something I noticed Alabama Power posted, and it's great to know that where we get our weather, staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams and the USA Coastal Weather Research Center, Alabama Power uses them as well for their weather forecasts. And of course, they've been all over the country helping with power outages and, far, wide, close to home, far away from home, Alabama Power goes and helps out. This time, though, they're expecting to be working here in their home state.
Yeah.
And they sent out a pretty cool press release and kind of helping you, make sure you're prepared for events like this, a checklist that's always important to have for hurricane preparedness. But they also point out, while storm surge is traditionally the greatest threat to life and property in a storm, inland flooding is the second most dangerous hazard associated with tropical cyclones. And that's something we can expect a lot of over this week, is flooding not only over the next couple of days, but even after the storm has moved past, we're still going to have a lot of that rain, a lot of that standing water. So got to be really careful with that as you drive around the streets of Mobile and Baldwin counties.
We know where it floods. We're well aware of that. You're going down Spring Hill Avenue on, you've got the four lanes there, but you basically stay in the center two lanes going east or west, the center lanes, because you're closer to medium, because on the side it just floods so much. That's just one example of the places we know flood easily. But I would think with 8 to 12 inches of rain, we're going to have areas that don't normally flood, and they're going to be flooding as well. And I don't know what to make of the places that generally flood, how far underwater they're going to be. It could be some catastrophic situations around Mobile and Baldwin County in the next few days.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Got to be careful when you're out there on the roads. And we all know, we've been around long enough. I'm sure many of you, this isn't your first, fifth, 10th, or even 20th storm you've had to prepare for. But we know some of the areas that certainly flood during events like this. And just an extra reminder, got to drive carefully out there over these next few days.
FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwiggin, 819. Here we go. Here we are. It's Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Turning up your voice in the 8 o'clock hour. We do that because if you want to call, you can. 343-0106. There's also the text line. Many of you are very familiar with that as you comment there. Also, not a bad way to let us know if your organization or your business educational outlet, if you're changing your plans because of the oncoming storm, just reach out to us that way, and that'll help us. The story out in L.A. is so disturbing on a couple of different levels. Two L.A. County Sheriff's Department deputies were shot. They were basically ambushed. They were seated in their patrol car in Compton. Guy walks up, acts like he's just going to walk by them, and pulls out a gun, shoots them both. It looks like they're both going to recover.
Mm.
Now, what kind of injuries they're going to go forward with, I don't know. But the Sheriff Alex Villanueva said Sunday afternoon, it looks like they will recover, but he is pretty ticked off, as you can imagine, and talking about how they've survived the worst, but it's just such a bad situation. He says, quote, this is the sheriff out in L.A. County, this is just a sober and somber reminder that this is a dangerous job, and actions and words have consequences. Our job does not get any easier because people do not like law enforcement. Mm. Also, there was a number of protesters or people just being a pain in the neck at the hospital where the police were being treated, saying terrible things that I won't even repeat, and blocking the entranceway mm-hmm. to the emergency area of the hospital. Just sick stuff on top of sick stuff. to me, right?
Yeah, and I would say that things have been trending in this direction towards a law enforcement officer being shot, but that would be false because this has been happening now for months. It was the retired security officer who he had retired from actual law enforcement work, and if you remember, David Dorn in St. Louis early on in these riots was protecting his friend's pawn shop and was shot to death there in St. Louis. Since then, we've seen a number of law enforcement officers shot and even killed during these protests and riots, and it came to a head just over the weekend with this shooting in L.A. that we're talking about. Now, the woman officer, woman deputy, a 31-year-old mother of a 6-year-old boy, and then the male deputy there, 24 years old, and according to Sheriff Villanueva, they had both just been sworn in 14 months ago. And if you've seen this video, which was released by the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, they were the first to release the video of this suspect walking up, just like you said, Dan, just it seemed like he was
nonchalant.
Yeah, he was very nonchalant, walked up to the passenger side of the vehicle and unloaded and shot inside the vehicle and then ran away from that deputy car. And, you know, there's been answers from politicians. They've spoken about this over the last couple of days. First off, L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti, and for better or worse, I know a lot of people have opinions on him, but Garcetti did come out and say there's no place in civilized society for anybody to draw an arm and to shoot our law enforcement officers that put their lives on the line, and I won't ever let a couple voices that are not only uncalled for, but it's abhorrent to say something like that when we have two deputies who are sheriff's deputies in grave condition. And that he's talking about are the protesters
outside the hospital
that were outside the hospital and saying some unbelievable things. Also, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, said a 31-year-old mother and a 24-year-old are fighting for their lives because of this cowardly, horrific act. The perpetrator must be quickly brought to justice. He also added praying for a full recovery for the deputies, said he's keeping them in his thoughts.
I don't think I mentioned this time around, but a $100,000 reward has now been offered for information leading to the arrest and conviction of said suspect. I think that the video shows a lot. It shows the build of the person, shows a little bit about the way he moves. Running away, he looked like he would be substandard in the 40-yard dash, I'll just tell you that. Not much of an athlete, just kind of a chubby guy that pulled this off. Anyway, the video shows you that. Somebody in that area may immediately know who that is, and if they want to get $100,000 richer, that's on them. They can.
Yeah, and, you know, both President Trump and his challenger, Vice President Biden, spoke about this at campaign rallies, whether virtual or in person, over the weekend. And, you know, it's been trending this way. It's with these riots and protests, for anyone to say that these, to keep going out and saying that these are peaceful protests, well, look what it's led to. It's led to police officers getting shot and sheriff's deputies, in this case, in cold blood with, you know, people that are probably marching right alongside a lot of those peaceful protesters. You have people like this in the mix as well. And Joe Biden went a couple of different directions when talking about this. He said, the cold-blooded shooting is unconscionable and the perpetrator must be brought to justice. Violence of any kind is wrong. Those who commit it should be caught and punished. But then on Biden's Twitter feed, he took it to gun control pretty much immediately. Said, weapons of war have no place in our communities. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. And then President Trump yesterday, speaking in Nevada, was heavy on the law and order message once again. He said, we're looking for this suspect, and when we find that person, we've got to get much faster with our courts. We've got to get much tougher with our sentencing. So continuing along those same lines, the president and the Republicans calling for law and order, and Joe Biden, although he said this was a despicable act, immediately calling for gun control. So get your thoughts on that. 343-0106.
Yeah, very good. We'll turn up your voice. Also, the stimulus money. Where is it? That's on the way on FM Talk 106.5. Well, good morning, y'all. It is 836 on FM Talk 106.5. It's Mobile Mornings. That's the name of the show. Used to be Sean Sullivan and Dalton Orwig. Now it's me, Dan Brennan, and Dalton Orwig. And Sean sleeps in, and then he's able to assess our show. He's highly critical in most segments. And then he's able to do his show, which is a great show. If you want to know what's going on around here, I'm just telling you. FM Talk 106.5, us, then Jeff Poor will tell you more about his guest list coming up. And then, of course, Sean Sullivan at noon till 2 today with Midday Mobile. It's 8:37 now.
Yeah, and right now, time to head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, y'all. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great here at FM Talk 106.5, and lots of rain on the way. Now, I do encourage people to go out to the lot at McConnell Automotive, but if that's not an option, the website is outstanding.
That's right, McConnellAutomotive.com. We got all the used cars up there, got some great pictures of them. You know, check those out. I want to thank everybody for coming in this weekend. Had a good weekend. Traded in a truck, a Ford Fiesta, and another Buick Encore. So we got some fresh trades on the ground. We're getting them through the shop. Got a few new Yukons. Those are 2021 Yukons. Came in this weekend. Want to tell everybody to be safe this week. If something happens to your car and you need a great body shop, just give us a buzz. 251-476-4141. Gary and all the guys and the girls back there will take care of all your insurance needs and everything.
Yeah,
just want to tell everybody to be safe this week and watch out for the water.
Well said, Louie. And just a reminder, folks can sell their vehicle directly to McConnell also. What do they have to do?
That's right. All you got to do is call Gene or I, and phone number 251-476-4141, and we'll give you a price right on the telephone. Just give us the VIN and the miles.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
It is 8:38. How about Doug Jones? Senator Doug Jones is going to be on the Jeff Poore show today at 10:30. That's a good get.
10 a.m.
Oh, 10 a.m.
On the dot. Well,
ah, okay.
more like 10:06. You can expect to hear from Alabama Senator Doug Jones. So he's got a lot to answer to in this interview with Jeff Poore.
Yeah, that's why we turn up your voice. So Jeff's going to talk to him. I don't know if we can also... I don't know how exactly Jeff likes to do that, but in any event, maybe at the very least you could text in some questions to Doug Jones. He called it a political ploy by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell last week. He joined his Democratic Party colleagues on Thursday voting against a slimmed-down COVID relief bill that did little to address average workers' problems with the pandemic, according to Senator Jones. So, again, you know, he's just saying the reason I voted no was this isn't going to help enough. A lot of people look at that skeptically and say, well, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans are both very much playing politics right now. That would not shock any of us. And the more I hear, it's like, don't even expect any kind of stimulus bill to get passed before the election. And for a lot of people who are really hurting, a lot of people we know are really hurting. That's a shame.
Yeah, and Senator Richard Shelby, who is the head of the Appropriations Committee, he basically said the same thing as Congress wrapped up their work last week. He said he thinks that that actually passing a coronavirus relief bill would be a long shot. But I find it interesting that Doug Jones would vote alongside his Democrat senators, his colleagues there, and vote no for this Republican relief bill, because with this election coming up in a month and a half, and you talk to pollsters or people that are highly knowledgeable about how politics work here in Alabama, they say he doesn't have much of a shot at beating Tommy Tuberville when it comes to that Senate election in November. So I'm surprised, even if he had crossed the aisle and voted yes on this Republican $500 billion bill, it wouldn't have been enough to get it across the finish line. So would it have been a smarter move for Doug Jones to cross the aisle and say, yes, we need to get at least some sort of help through Senate and get some kind of money into these local businesses and help re-stimulate our economy after those $2 trillion that was spent just a few months ago?
Do you think that would maybe... that would help his political posturing in the state of Alabama with the rank and file citizens? And does he have political aspirations beyond this election? Because if Tuberville wins, like the polls suggest, what happens to Doug Jones then?
That's the seesaw I believe Senator Jones is walking right now, because you think the tried and true Democrats that are going to vote with him either way come November, they would not have been happy about him voting yes on this Republican relief bill. But I don't think that they would have been unhappy enough to not vote for him. And lots of negatives in that sentence. But I still think they would have voted for Doug Jones, even if he'd voted yes on this relief bill. Now, where he gets into trouble voting no is that it's just another mark against him with center-right-leaning people who might not be all in on Tommy Tuberville and could be looking at the option of voting for Doug Jones. But the more times that he votes with the Democrats in the Senate, I think the less likely he is to draw in those center-of-the-aisle voters. But, like you just mentioned, what are the political aspirations for Doug Jones? If he already has a pretty good feeling he's going to lose this coming election, but if he's confident enough, or at least putting his cards in the Joe Biden corner, there's been talk that if Joe Biden wins the presidential election, that he might be holding a spot in his administration for Doug Jones.
I have heard that.
One spot that's been mentioned is Attorney General, of course, with Doug Jones having that law degree by his name and a pretty big time prosecution of the church bombers next to his name as well. Maybe Attorney General is something he's looking for, but even if it's not that high of a position, I have to think that that's why he's been voting with the Democrats so often. Now, you listen to Robert Kennedy Jr., who is on the air with us often here on FM Talk 106.5, and his show began again on Friday nights. This last Friday night, they started season three of Kennedy for Alabama, and you can hear him on Thursdays with Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile. He believes, and he has the stats, that Doug Jones has voted with the Republicans plenty of times, but the question I have for Kennedy, and maybe he'll text us or something like that, is how many of those bills were big-time bills that he voted with the Republicans on? How many times were they just smaller things that didn't really move the needle one way or the other?
Nobody even knew it, almost like in the dark of night.
Exactly, you know? Right. And you think back to the impeachment of Trump. Doug Jones did vote with the Republicans one time, I think, in those three votes for impeachment. So, but the other times he voted with the Democrats. And that's something that I'm sure Tommy Tuberville is keeping his eyes on as we enter, just a month and a half left before those general elections. And if you've been watching TV at all, you've been seeing ads from both candidates, Doug Jones and Tommy Tuberville. I hadn't seen any Tuberville ads until maybe the last week, and they began popping up more with some football games that are on. I've been seeing some more Tuberville ads, and he's playing them pretty straightforward. He's saying, if you want, he kind of goes along the party line. If you want socialism, liberalism, then you want to vote for Doug Jones. Mm-hmm. If you want somebody who backs President Trump, then you just need to vote for me, which I think is the smart way for Tuberville to play this. But he was actually asked, I think, by Fox 10 last week about the president and those Bob Woodward tapes for the Woodward book that's coming out, Rage, where he spoke with the president in early February, and Trump said that he realized that this virus could be very deadly and that it passes through the air and it's more dangerous than the flu. Well, Fox 10 asked Tommy Tuberville about that last week, and initially he said that he didn't see the report, and then later issued a statement saying that, quote, fake news would criticize Trump no matter what. And so Jones pounced on Tuberville saying he wasn't paying attention to the news in a virtual campaign event Friday that was live streamed. Senator Jones said, "My opponent, who I call Coach Clueless, indicated he doesn't watch the news, so he didn't know anything about it," which I believe is just a way to avoid the media's questions. So that's what we've got going on right now in the Senate race as Tuberville and Jones swap barbs with one another, and I think we can expect them to keep punching for the next week, month and a half.
Well, I'm going to be very interested in the punches thrown during that interview with Jeff Ford today, because he's definitely going to unload on Tuberville, don't you think? That opportunity to speak in South Alabama?
We'll see. We'll see about that. He knows this is a conservative leaning station, but FM Talk 106.5, we put people of all political persuasions on the air, especially when they're a senator for the state.
845 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig at 850. Yesterday, we're seeing everything about the storm coming and all. The ever quotable Kim Brennan says to Dan Brennan, "Can you just text Dr. Bill and find out?" I think that's kind of crossing the line, Kim. I don't think he'd appreciate that at all.
Yeah.
You don't think he'd appreciate that, would you, Dolphin?
I don't think so.
He's got a lot going on.
Bigger fish to fry.
Thank you, too. Just reply to my single text. But if you want to know the latest on Tropical Storm Sally and what Dr. Bill's got to say about it, we've got that audio readily available for you online right now.
Yeah, his latest update, you can check it out, fmtalk1065.com on the three big things. It's the first thing up, so just click that link and it'll take you to the podcast form of our last conversation with Dr. Bill Williams. And we'll be talking with him throughout the day here on FM Talk 106.5. Anytime you want to hear that latest update, if you miss half of it or come in late, then just check the website not long after and we'll have that uploaded for you to listen to. But just kind of a run through of his latest update. Right now he says the center of soon-to-be hurricane Tropical Storm Sally, and he said he sees this turning into a Category 1 hurricane, that the center will pass over the southeastern coast of Louisiana right at the mouth of the Mississippi River. And then by tomorrow night, early Wednesday morning, it'll be passing over maybe past Christian or as far east as Gulfport, Mississippi.
That's a change right there.
Now, for us, and as many of you know so well, being on the eastern side of the storm means we're going to get a lot of that rain and a lot of that wind. And this is a slow-moving event, which means the rain will be here for days, at least through Thursday. 8 to 12 inches or possibly more in our area, according to Dr. Bill. The wind, it'll pick up today. If you're not already seeing it out there, he said we should see 25 to 30 mile per hour winds with gusts of over 40 at times today. And then tomorrow, that wind increases. We'll see wind from 30 to 35 miles per hour and then gusts of up to 45 or 50 miles per hour tomorrow. Also, he updated the storm surge from 1 hour to the next as he saw the storm move a little further east. And Dr. Bill now predicting a 4 to 6 feet of storm surge along our Gulf Coast as Sally makes its way here. And of course, right now, Mobile, Baldwin, and Washington counties, along with Northwest Florida, are in a tropical storm warning, and a hurricane watch is in effect just offshore the Alabama Gulf Coast. Now, the entire Mississippi coast is under a hurricane warning, so that means if the track moves any further east, then Mobile and Baldwin counties would be next under that hurricane warning. And right now, the entire area under flash flood watch until Thursday morning. So we'll be watching for a lot of that standing water on our roadways as we go through this work week.
Yeah, and it's going to be a work week. It's going to be a work week in your yard, on your property. There's going to be a lot of hardy yard work, property work to be done when this thing. And the thing about it is, too, it's not going to blow through. It's just going to keep on pelting us with rain and making those tree limbs a little bit heavier. And so we could have damage occurring well after the eye of the storm has moved on and it's become just kind of a depression in North Alabama. We could still have stuff going on in the area, on the streets.
Yeah, because the way the storm is tracking, you know, going over southeast Louisiana and then Mississippi, we're in the cone right now on the right side, the eastern side of that storm, but it's going to curveball around Mobile, so we'll be on the eastern side of the storm for days. Yep. Even as it's crossing into central Alabama, it'll still be, you know, cutting eastward, so we'll be underneath it at that point, but still on the eastern side of the storm. So there's going to be a lot of rainfall, and you know, we average 5 to 6 inches in a September, and Dr. Bill here is saying we can expect 8 to 12 inches during this event.
I want to turn up the voice.
Yeah.
Talk 106.5 at 343-0106.
Yeah, and it looks like we have John from Mobile on the line. Good morning, John. What you got for us today?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
Doing well.
Hey, I just wanted to encourage people that if you're going to vote for the president and support Trump, then vote straight ticket Republican, because if you look at the bill that was signed by the Democratic governor of California, where makes it easier for sex offenders to get off.
I was reading about that.
Not to be held responsible for what they do. You know, if you're within 10 years of the victim, like if a 21-year-old guy rapes an 11-year-old girl, he's not going to, or 12-year-old girl, he's not going to be a sex offender.
What?
And that's the, I believe I got that right, but it's a 10-year window. If your victim's 10 years or less younger than you, it's not considered a sex offense.
What is it considered?
I don't know.
Yeah, what's
just,
it considered,
you know,
John?
Consensual.
Okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
But,
And of course,
Doug,
you know,
Doug Jones, let me tell you, in the Senate race, Doug Jones is not his own man. He just got $10 million from the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, maybe the media, I don't know. But he's spending money hand over fist, lying through his teeth. He takes his orders from Schumer. So I'm encouraging, if anybody down ballot is running as a Democrat, they're not worth shooting. And all the Democrats are going to do is try to destroy the country. So I would encourage you to vote straight ticket GOP.
Thank you, John, for that call.
That's noted. And
I've got to read up more on what the governor of California signed, because I heard it in that form, in a very brief little sentence where I didn't I didn't read more about it. Mm-hmm. I kind of came across it in my news feed, so I've got to check that out.
I've had my eyes on a lot of news. I haven't read about that one either, but Larry from Daphne adds, he says, the 10-year window, not for acts of rape. It's consensual sex with a minor up to 10 years younger than you. So, you know, that is notable, and it's something to look at. But also notable, nobody from California is on the ballot here in Alabama this coming November. So apparently John there grouping Doug Jones in with some other liberals across the country, and
that's the politics being played right now, is that everybody knows that how the left side of the Democratic Party how much they're not appreciated in many portions of the country.
Yeah.
So you lop every Democrat and paint him in the picture of that's who they are, that's who they represent, regardless of who they are.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting when we're talking about California, and of course they are going through it right now, not just California, but the entire West Coast with these fires.
It's terrible.
Upwards of 33 people have died due to these wildfires. But I've been reading some stories, and you know, some of these people that want to do away with the Electoral College, and they point to how many American citizens are and will be living in the major cities of L.A. and New York City, Houston, and they point to that as reasons for the Electoral College being done away with. But there are more people moving out of California right now than there have been in possibly ever. I need to find the exact stat, but Joe Rogan, who has maybe the most listened to podcast in the nation, and just signed a huge deal with Spotify. I know he moved away from LA, moved into Austin, Texas, and I'm sure a big part of that was the taxes that were due from him living in Texas compared to California.
Yeah.
But California is still mostly shut down due to the pandemic, and you thought we had it rough with our local businesses being closed. California and New York State have been, it's impossible to live and work there right now.
It really is.
So many people moving out of California, and I'm sure things like what we were just talking about, what John pointed our attention to being passed in California, that's not helping with their numbers either.
It is not, and but when we signed the deal for a big podcast, we're staying right here in Mobile, Dalton.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know that. We ain't going nowhere.
Nowhere.
We've got Jeff Poore on the way, among his guests, Senator Doug Jones at 10 o'clock this morning. It is FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings, wrapping it up on a Monday.